Yesterday, Sarah and I met up with some friends at Surdix in Northeast Minneapolis for a massive wine tasting. My favorite kind of tasting, by the way, is a hyper-focused theme. So whether it's whiskeys or it's wines or it's beers, so take whiskeys, for example. Instead of just going and having, we're going to do a whiskey tasting, and here's a bunch of different whiskeys from a bunch of distilleries. Okay, fine. I'm not going to complain about that. But what's way more interesting to me is if it's focused on a specific type, so a bourbon. Say these are all going to be Kentucky bourbons and we're going to compare them. And what that does for me is it allows me to just dive in and compare and see the fine tune differences between them. And I end up learning way more. So, but I don't know, by the way, that's just a side note that when I'm looking for some kind of tasting, it's way more enjoyable to find something that is hyper specific. And this was one of them. They were doing Grenaches. Grenache? What's the plural of Grenache wine? Is it Grenaches? Grenache? No, I think it's Grenaches. So they were doing a Grenache wine tasting. And it was fascinating. So much more enjoyable than if it was, okay, this table has Grenache, this table has Merlots, this one has Cabs. No, just everything focused on the same varietal allows me to learn so much more. Not even just about that specific varietal, but about wine in general. And here's a great example of it. So I was talking to my friend John, who was working the tasting, and he is someone I feel comfortable acknowledging the fact. Well, now I'm acknowledging to you, but the fact that I'm in the waiting pool when it comes to wine knowledge. The friends that we went to this tasting with are brilliant. They know so much more than I do. So I feel like I'm constantly playing catch up. I mean, here's an example. I was showing up. This is showing how much of in the waiting pool of ignorance I am when it comes to this specific grape. I didn't know that there were red and white grapes that were considered Grenache. And so I was talking to my friend John at one of the tables, and I was telling him this, and he goes, well, here's what gets really interesting. There is the Rosé Grenache, and that can even be made multiple different ways. You can have it be a white grape that comes in contact with the skin of reds, or it can be a blend of red and white grapes. There's multiple ways, and there's no real rules of how you have to do it to be specified this. And so we started tasting some rosés. He pulls out one. It's great. We go on to a second one, and all of us in our group start comparing these two bottles and what we're tasting. We're like, okay, naturally, at a tasting situation, the question comes up when you're tasting a couple things, which one do you like more? So we're going back and forth. We're talking about which one do you like? Which one do you like more? And as we are, John starts getting this big smile on his face. And he goes, well, I'm pumped that I have a third one for you to try and add in the mix. So everybody keeps talking and tasting the wine. And I ask him why he was so excited. The way he said it was like that he was excited, not about this third wine, but the fact that he had a third wine to put into the conversation. What he said was he loves doing comparative tastings in groups of three, because, and this is so, by the way, this is so nerdy, but this was so fascinating to me that I pulled out my little notebook that I always travel with, and I wrote this quote down. He said, if offered a binary choice, people will make a binary choice. And I know that sounds super basic and like, oh yeah, of course, if you're offered a choice, you will then make the choice. No, this thought about twos back and forth. We started having a conversation about it. He said that what he's noticed within the world of tasting is that when you're given two options, you start putting your weight on preferences between the two. It turns into this decision making where you are either of almost like lifting one up entirely. You're discussing the entirety of one and compared to the entirety of another. But what he said was when you add a third option to the mix, the conversation shifts. What gets more interesting is people start talking about their favorite characteristics of the three. And this could be three or four or more, but just not once you get outside of the binary, he says, you start having a conversation about, okay, almost like people start building their own mystical, perfect thing in their mind. And you're more analytical. Like, I love the nose and smell of this one, but I like the acidity of this one. I like the finish of this one, but I feel like this other one was a little too thin. I like the weight on it, my palate. I feel like I like the dryness of this other one. You start talking about the characteristics and then it pulls in, okay, then of all those things, which would you prefer if you're going to pick up a bottle? And even say if the conversation is to choose your favorite one, what he said he notices is that people actually, before that even comes up in conversation, people first decide naturally which one was their least favorite. Almost like this pairing things out. Okay, let's take this one out of the mix. And I was thinking about this, and it's just been fascinating ever since. Like I thought about last night, I woke up this morning thinking about it, and I'm wondering if music works the same way. And now I find myself just thinking about how many aspects of my life this impacts. The next time I'm doing anything, I'm thinking and drinking, I'm smelling, I'm seeing, I'm listening. Any time that I'm being analytical and weighing out decisions, I don't know. I just find this super fascinating.
Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. We hope you'll enjoy.
Meow.